KVU Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning, Radio Free Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Well, looks like Florida's about to get boofed by a couple of blowhards, and today is, of course, Post-Indigenous Peoples Day. I don't know what everybody else did to recognize the day. It's again one of those holidays where we wonder if is it an insult to even consider holding a day of celebration for people who have suffered so much harm from colonialism, from empire, from white violence, white crime against most of the rest of the planet. We have weather today, yes, as always. We have plenty of it. 50-50 chance of rain, and otherwise it's going to be sunny. There we go. Why bother? With a high near 61. And tonight, temperatures dropping around 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs around 64. And overnight, lows 43. We are going to try to get Fred Oberlander on the horn someday soon. At that point, we will talk a little bit about Oleg Deripaska and Felix Sater and some of the major crimes of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, back at the Supreme Court, we had it in the bag, you know. We had at least four solid black and white take it to the bank inarguable cases of perjury, which would not have created the headlines that the alternative absolute guaranteed failure of a strategy had. That certainly got the headlines, didn't it? And a lot of violence has been done to women, lots, by myself, but and I refuse to make a whiny little me too sound. I don't do those sort of noises, I hope. unless they're plying the thumb the screws. But we did have these four cases of perjury, which would have disqualified Kavanaugh from his current circuit court seat. And absolutely, he couldn't possibly even have been in the running. The Federalist Society should have known this. All of the good old boys that put him up to it ought to have known this. Any kind of due diligence would have shown that he was ineligible for a position on the Supreme Court because of his past perjuries. And yet, that solid, rock solid case that would have prevented this catastrophe from happening. That was bypassed in favor of marching around with a pink pussycat hat and a sign. Once again, that, yes, what Dr. Ford went through was unutterably horrible, and many people have endured much worse. But that this was not the time nor the place to make that argument. The argument before us was, should Brett Kavanaugh been in the running for a position on the Supreme Court? That is what we were supposed to be considering as a nation. That is what we could have done for our country, in case anybody ever bothers wondering about that anymore. But no, that was overlooked, because it wouldn't have drawn headlines. Plus, it was somewhat confusing. The general public might have had a difficult time following it. And maybe that would have been better than the soap opera that we endured. And that, of all people, of course, Dr. Ford was forced to endure because of her conscience and what she thought was right. She made the fatal error of behaving as a citizen would behave, and forgetting that we live in a capitalist society. We no longer have citizens, we have consumers. And wow, did they ever stand up in their hind legs and consume this? Because that's what they do. They don't participate, they buy. And they bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Exactly. It was a trap set by the Republicans, and once again, and the Democrats walked straight into it. End of story. Another inexcusable mistake. Okay, a top Trump campaign official, let's just say it, Rick Gates, requested proposals back in 2016 from an Israeli company to create fake online identities to use social media manipulation to gather intelligence to help defeat Hillary Clinton. Now, of course, interviews and copies of these proposals. The Trump campaign's interest in the work began again as Russians were escalating their effort to aid Trump. The Israeli company's pitches were narrower than Moscow's interference in the campaign and appear unconnected. Oh yeah, so far so good. The documents show that the senior Trump aide saw the promise, that would be Rick Gates, of a disruption effort to swing voters into the Trump camp. Trump. The waters are rising. Republicans are fond of telling us that rising water floats all boats. It's not going to float. It's not floating my boat, and it's not floating a lot of other people, especially in South Florida. It can also sink boats. We forget about that. Day after the United Nations issued its most urgent call to arms yet for the world to confront the threat of climate change, Trump boarded Air Force One for Florida. So we've got stormy weather in Florida. It's a state that lies directly in the path of the oncoming calamity. Trump said nothing about it. However, a lot of other countries, and in fact individual states, in America, led as always by Californians, are definitely on board with the rest of the world. The reeling in the face of Trump's ignorance and arrogance. There's a couple of bumps in the road. Alas, there are populist morons scattered here and there. Of course, we've just seen an election in Brazil, which was too close to call, so there's going to be a runoff, and I believe it is very soon. I believe it's 3 weeks. The battle there is between a populist moron who indulges in the same type of vulgar language that that Trump himself enjoys. In fact, it seems to be a general trait of the populists around the world, Hungary and other places, and of course Philippines, and you know, the list goes on. These are very dangerous people because, of course, they're following in the soggy steps of Mushroom Man and himself. They are climate deniers. It just seems that it's a matter of basic intelligence. I mean, I would like to say it's ignorance. They are simply unaware of climate change and what it means, but they couldn't possibly be. It's willful stupidity what it comes down to. There is an enormous discrepancy between the White House and essentially everybody else. The United Nations report paints a far more dire picture of the immediate consequences of climate change than previously thought. And believe me when I tell you that if the United Nations report paints a worse picture, the picture is many times worse than that. There are, among climate change scientists, there are increasing fears that Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Accord, which at first seemed just a lonely act of defiance, is probably embolden people like Bolsonaro in Brazil. He too is bound to withdraw his country. He's not quite in the cockpit right yet. It'll take the runoff to put him there. But given the generally disheveled condition of the opposition there, he's pretty much a safe bet. And some environmental good news. On Indigenous Peoples Day, the Rainforest Action Network this year and others have managed to get themselves in trouble with Enbridge and other pipeline companies. It turns out that Rainforest Action Network, Sierra Club, 350 Seattle, Friends of the Earth France, and others have called on Chase, Wells Fargo, and French bank Crédit Agricole to end their participation in credit lines up to about $4 billion associated with Indigenous rights violations with major tar sands pipeline companies, Enbridge and TransCanada. Let's just make sure you get that. These are huge banks, and they're denying credit lines to Enbridge and TransCanada. The Broad Coalition delivered an open letter to the banks. That's why we know about it. It presents an escalation in national efforts to hold the banks accountable. And it goes on from there, winding around that topic, and it certainly is worth standing up beside those groups that have brought Enbridge, hopefully brought Enbridge and TransCanada, if not to their knees, at least in a stooped position. Speaking of catastrophic climate change and other disasters hitting Florida, and that is Trump arrives with Hurricane Michael expected to hit the northeastern Gulf Coast as soon as tomorrow. Florida Governor Rick Scott issued a state of emergency for 26 counties and deployed troops to areas that are most likely to be struck. The storm may be the area's strongest hurricane in 13 years. Experts expect it could be classified as a Category 3 or possibly higher. They're unpredictable right now. And again, unpredictability is one of the signature characteristics of climate change, more than anything else. That would be what the face of the end is going to look like. So back to Russia and Trump, because it's unavoidable, and it basically underlies all the rest of what we talk about here. The New York mansion of Oleg Deripaska, he of Manafort fame, has been frozen alongside all of his U.S. assets, trying to still figure out if this is the Magnitsky Act coming into force. There's some very, very interesting and heavily redacted and in some cases scrambled to, I guess it would be encryption and decryption. But the gist of it is that Deripaska has pretty much been frozen in place. There's a glossary, there's also a very interesting, if you dig a little, memorandum to Representative Jackie Speer, a member of Congress, California, 14th District, from Tom Adams and Dennis Oftergut. It's a Russian glossary listing Russians or individuals closely connected to Donald Trump. The list is extraordinary, especially the Oleg Deripaska end of things. This has been Erkos Kaia for Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. Ray engineered the show for us today. Once again, thanks, Ray. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thank you, Derek. I'm Chris Andreg. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand.
This is KVOO.